very much, sir. It's a great honor. Great people. Thank you. Sit down, please. Thank you. And I want to thank Commander Riley. Truly thrilled to be here with thousands of America's proudest and toughest and most extraordinary patriots, the incredible veterans of AMVETS. We love our veterans. AMVETS. Thank you very much. We're special people. You fought courageously for our country, and now my administration is fighting courageously for you. That's for sure. And, you know, we've accomplished a lot. We've done a lot. And one of the things we have done is you get that medical care quickly now when you go into those doctors, and you used to have to wait for weeks and weeks and weeks, and you don't wait anymore. You go out and see a private doctor, and we pay the bill. And people are really happy about it, and the vets are very happy about it. Veterans Choice, is you've been trying to get that for 44 years, they say. 44 years. I guess it's longer than that, probably earlier than that, but for 44 years at least that we know of. And you got it, so congratulations. Hopefully you don't have to use it too often because you're going to feel great, okay? To every veteran here today, all across our land, thank you for your noble and incredible service. It's an honor, really, of my life. I understand that I'm the first Commander-in-Chief, first President to address you and be here, and that's something that's very special. And it's also an honor to be the Commander-in-Chief of the greatest fighting force the world has ever known, the United States military, and it's strongly today. And it's a lot stronger today than it was 2.5 years ago, I can tell you that. A lot stronger. $700 billion we spent, and then $716 billion. That's with a B. And this year it's $738 billion. So we've rebuilt your military, and it's stronger than ever before. And that was really needed. It was depleted. It was tired. It was exhausted. And you know that better than I do, but we have totally rebuilt it. I want to thank your outstanding national commander, Reed Riley, as well as your terrific executive director, Joe Shenley. Where is Joe? Joe, thank you. Where's Joe? Thank you, Joe. That's not a very good seat for you, Joe. Give that mention right up top and look, see? You want to give other people the better seats. I like that type of person, right? Thank you, Joe. It's also my privilege to recognize your National First Vice Commander, the highest-ranking woman in AMVETS history, retired Air Force Senior Master Sergeant Jen Brown. Jen. Thank you, Jen. Congratulations as well to this year's recipients of the Silver Helmet Awards, especially a dear friend who is an inspiration to all Americans, World War II veteran and Medal of Honor recipient, Woody Williams. Thank you, Woody. You're looking good, Woody. Woody's looking good. That was a big day. Medal of Honor. Nothing like the Medal of Honor. I wanted one, but they told me I don't qualify, Woody. They said, can I give it to myself anyway? They said, I don't think that's a good idea. Great, great people. These are great, great men and women that get the Congressional Medal of Honor. Thank you, Woody. We are unbelievably grateful to all of the members of AMVETS Ladies Auxiliary. They've worked so hard, and the sons of AMVETS and the junior AMVETS, and of course, the legendary AMVETS writers who are fighting to keep alive the spirit of Rolling Thunder. I love Rolling Thunder, that movie. Wow. Rolling Thunder. We're taking care of Rolling Thunder since I've been there. Rolling Thunder, please stand up. You have so many great people. So many great people. Thank you. Thank you. And the leaders are all here, too. Thank you. And we'll see you in a little while. in Washington and to honor the prisoners of war and those missing in action, today we renew our vow that America will never, ever forget. It's a great, thank you. Great to be joined by a number of champions for Americans veterans, including Secretary of Education, Betsy DeVos. Betsy, doing a great job. Deputy VA Secretary, James Byrne. James, thank you. Great job. A man who has really done a great job. I don't know if he's appreciated. Sometimes it doesn't work out that way, but he's done an incredible job. And your state is doing phenomenal business, and I want to take all of the credit, but I can't because I have to give him a lot, too, because he has been a truly great governor, Matt Bevin. Thank you, Matt. And, you know, Kentucky has record numbers right now. It's the best year they've ever had in just about every category. So it's really an incredible thing. And a man who I just watched on television, he's so good. You can do television for me anytime you want, Congressman Thomas Massie. Where's Thomas? Good job, Thomas. Say hello to our friends. Say hello to our friends back in Washington. That was a good job. Just watched you. I cannot come to Kentucky without also praising the exceptional work of Senator Mitch McConnell. I have to tell you, this guy is a true fighter for our veterans and for Kentucky. He's worked tirelessly to enact massive tax cuts, record defense spending, and crucial VA reform that I was just talking about. And I have to think that of all the things with respect to Mitch, Mitch is a good person.
Good evening, everybody. We are listening to President Trump speak to the AmVets yesterday in, I believe, Kentucky somewhere. And we will start the prayer call in about 6 minutes. Thank you.
Up to 150. Within about 2 months, we'll be at 179 federal judges and 2 Supreme Court judges. And it's your senator, and it's for him, that's a passion like I've never seen before. And there is nothing more important. You know, when I became president, they said the most important thing you can do is judges. And in particular, they said Supreme Court justices. Well, as you know, we've named 2 Supreme Court justices, right? Justice Kavanaugh, Justice Gorsuch. And I want to just congratulate Mitch McConnell, and you have him. You have him, and he's a champion, and he fights hard, and he really is something special, and he loves your state, and I'll be here campaigning for Mitch, and I'll be campaigning for Matt, and we're going to get them both back in, and I just had to say, because Mitch has been somebody very special, and Matt knows that as well. This year, we commemorated the 75th anniversary of D-Day, June 6, 1944, when thousands of American patriots stormed the beaches of Normandy and charged through the fires of hell to ensure the survival of liberty. This year also marks the 75th anniversary of the organization that took care of those victorious veterans when they returned, and every generation of veterans since. Incredible job. Today we celebrate AmVets for 75 years of love and loyalty and lifelong service to our military personnel, to our veterans, and to their families. Congratulations. Thank you very much. Thank you. AmVets posts across the nation have become pillars of pride in our community, so true, and shining symbols of the enduring power of the American spirit. Your support of our troops overseas, it welcomes them when they come back home, and you welcome them, and you're there for them in every way, medically, physically, morally, you're with them all the way, and they appreciate it much more than you would even know. You safeguard our values, pass on our traditions, and teach generation after generation to love our country, honor our heroes, and always respect our great American flag. We gather today at a truly incredible time for our nation. We are reawakening American pride, American confidence, and American greatness. We are America first. About time, Bruce. It's about time, wouldn't you say? We hear America first. You didn't used to hear that. You didn't used to hear that too much, right? You didn't used to hear it at all, come to think of it. You hear it a lot now. Hope you don't get sick of it. I don't think you will. Not this group. Not too many people in our country would feel that way. We're respected again as a nation. We're respected again. We're restoring the fundamental principles that government and its first obligation is the highest loyalty is to our citizens. It's the loyalty to our citizens that really is that first obligation. No longer will we sacrifice America's interests to any foreign power.
We are listening to President Trump speak to the American Veterans Group in Louisville, Kentucky yesterday. We'll start the prayer call in a minute.
Where we say, make America great again, we may have to switch it. You know what we're going to switch it to? Right? Huh? That's right. That's right. I won't say it here because this is not a campaign speech. It's not a campaign speech. I will not say, keep America great, but we're going to keep America great. We're going to keep America great. There's a lot of press back there. Look at all of them. Wow. There's a lot of cameras going. Look at all those red lights on there. The red lights means you're on. When the lights are off, you can get a little sleepy back here and take it easy. Nowhere is this patriotic allegiance more essential than fulfilling our duty to the American warrior and to the American veteran. We are upholding our nation's solemn pledge to protect those who protect us, and they've protected us brilliantly. With America's core interests guiding us as we do, we are making unprecedented strides. Our incredible American warriors have pulverized the bloodthirsty killers of ISIS. We defeated 100% of the caliphate in Syria. We're holding thousands of ISIS fighters right now, prisoners, and we're going to give them to from where they came, the Europe, certain countries in Europe. We've got to take them back because we don't want to hold them. Got to give them back. We're fighting for other people. We got to give them back. They got to take them. They'd rather have us hold them and let us have them.
Well, good evening, my friends. Welcome to the prayersfor45.com call for Thursday night. And it is August 22nd. Hope everybody's having a great day. It's another beautiful evening here in Southern California. As always, we will do our two prayers tonight. We'll do our first prayer for President Trump, if Kimberly gets in here on time. Kimberly, if you're on a different number, text me. I don't see you. And if we need to move to our second prayer first, we'll start with Pastor Joseph. He's on with us tonight, and we will pray for the reset of the rule of law. We will continue to pray. All right, Kimberly's here. Well, let me find you. There you are. Kimberly, how you doing? Kimberly, I've unmuted you.
I am here.
All righty. Good to have you. How's it going tonight?
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Beautiful. Why don't you take it away and lead us in our first prayer?
Amen. You know, I was thinking today about hope deferred, you know, because we often, in our waiting, create these expectations. And so the Bible talks about how when you have expectations that are not maybe happening or rolling out, or maybe, you know, disclosure is not happening exactly on your own timeline, and it's hard sometimes to wait. The Bible actually addresses that, and it says, hope deferred makes the heart grow weary. And so what I want to do tonight is I want to just pray for our listeners and pray for the people who are on the call, and also include that as a prayer for our fabulous POTUS, because I'm sure that he has things that he knows are supposed to be happening, that he's expecting to happen, and yet he also has to have a season of wait. What do you think, Scotty? Good idea?
I think it's a great idea. Let's do it.
Okay. All right. Father, we just enter into your presence knowing that you provide scripture that meets us in our place of frustration. And you provide scripture that meets us in our place of despair and our weariness. Lord, your word says, do not grow weary in well-doing, for at the appointed time, in the due season, you shall reap if you faint not. And so, Lord, we know that we are steadfast in our hope that your plan is continuing to roll out. And yet, Lord, some of us are waiting and we're entering into a place of just frustration, or the timing just seems to be long and it's longer than we're expecting. And Lord, we know that our president is not above these normal emotions and expectations that you identify so mercifully in your scripture. And so, Lord, we come against despair. We come against weariness in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that you have given us a way out, that you have said that you are the one who encourages us. Lord, you have said that we shall reap if we faint not. And so, Lord, tonight, we come together and we decide that we will not faint. We will not allow ourselves to grow weary in this wait as we wait and anticipate the great things that you are doing. And Lord, we look with hearts of thanksgiving. We look with hearts of praise, knowing that we continue to see great things happen, great things rolling out, great accountability coming, great transparency coming. Father, we know that you continue to expose the things that are hidden and bring them into the light, and we are thankful for that. And so we ask, Lord, that you would encourage, send your spirit, Lord, to encourage us, each of us individually. Lord, please send your spirit to encourage our president and his wife. Lord, you know the secret things that are spoken in the quiet moments between just the two of them, Lord, when nobody else is listening. We are asking, Lord, for you to come and make yourself known in those moments. Father, that you would encourage, that you would breathe fresh renewal, that your spirit would bring fresh, just like a fresh drink of water, Lord, refreshing, Father. We ask, Lord, that you would encourage, that you would inspire, that you would bring a fresh anointing, Lord, upon our president and everybody who is listening to this call and who is on the call tonight. Lord, we all need a fresh, like a sprinkling of your spirit. We all need a fresh breath of your wind. Lord, I often think that, you know, those of us who want to see you, Lord, that it's so hard sometimes to see you, Lord, and yet we can see the evidence of you everywhere, kind of like the wind, Lord. And so we need a fresh breath of fresh air, Father. We ask for refreshing to come upon all of our callers and upon our president tonight. We thank you that you continue to protect him. We thank you that you continue to keep him whole. We thank you that you continue to heal his body, Lord. We lift up, Father, I'm just thinking about everybody on this call tonight and anybody who's calling in later in the week, Lord. I ask, Lord, that you would touch and minister to any infirmity. Father, the top of the heads to the bottom of the feet, Father, whatever it is, Lord, whatever infirmity, Father, we ask that you would come and send your spirit to touch and bring healing, 100% healing. Your word says that by your stripes we are healed. It's because of the shedding of your blood as our Savior, as Messiah, that we enter into healing, because your name means God, my healer. And so we thank you. We thank you for the doctors, for the medicine, for the system that we have in place on our planet that helps bring about and facilitate healing, Lord. But we also know that we can ask and it will be done according to your will. And so, Lord, we ask that you would supernaturally touch tumors, supernaturally touch cancer, supernaturally touch hearts and minds. Father, we command those things to right themselves in Jesus' name, to be healed, to be whole in Jesus' name. Father, if there are missing persons, Lord, we ask that you would allow them to be found, that you would call them. Lord, we know of a particular person who has not responded to reaches this week, Lord, and we are concerned about that person. And we ask, Lord, that you would meet that person in this place and that you would let them know that they do not have to be in despair, Lord, and that you would gather. Lord, you are the great shepherd and you gather the lost sheep. And so we ask, Lord, that you would gather this lost sheep and that you would bring this sheep back into the fold in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for every other need that is not spoken on this call. We know that you are the one who cares for us, that you have said in your word that we should cast our cares on you, for you care for us. And so we cast these cares, Lord, unspoken cares. Oh my goodness, Lord, I think one time I wrote out a list of 1,000 cares. And so we cast, like we're fishing, we cast these cares at your feet, knowing that your word says that you care for us. And so, Lord, we collectively cast our cares for our nation, for our states, for our towns, for our families. We cast our cares on you. All of the cares of the president, Lord, we cast his cares on you, knowing that you care for us. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you, Lord, for all of these things. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Kimberly. Grateful for you devoting your time every Sunday and Thursday to lead our first prayer. Those of you that might be new tonight, Kimberly does lead our first prayer every Sunday and Thursday, and she is a great inspiration to everybody that's in this group. So, Kimberly, thank you, and I have a little favor to ask of you. We have some sick people in our group. We also have a friend. You and I have a mutual friend who has gone missing.
Yes, I just prayed for them.
Oh, you did include the missing person. Okay.
I did.
Gotcha.
I did.
I did not catch that part.
To gather the lost sheep. So, yes, we brought
awesome.
That to the Lord, and it will be done according to his will. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. He will show up tomorrow.
Amen. Lord willing. How about tonight?
That'll be soon enough. It will be soon enough. One announcement and one item of interest before our second prayer. A quick announcement, our second article will be posted tomorrow on the website. You'll get an email announcement that will provide a link to that article. Encourage you to begin to read our articles as we're trying to write in accordance with our group and bring context to our prayers. One item of interest, I want to plant this seed tonight. A very close friend of my brother's and a business associate of mine tomorrow will announce that he is going to run against President Trump in the primary. And he is a Republican conservative from Illinois, served one term in Congress. Two interesting side notes to this. One, my brother and I once over dinner were ribbing him that he's part of the swamp, part of the swamp, part of the swamp. And we're pretty darn sure he never bit at any of the shenanigans in his one term. And his comment was, no, I'm not part of that group. Probably more than half of us. We've heard numbers that if the Epstein case were to take everybody down in D.C., they'd have to shut the government down to 70% or more are involved. But the other part, he said, you know, if I served two terms, who knows what would have happened. Now, here's the reason I actually bring this up. He has a three-hour daily radio show in a major market, Chicago, on a conservative talk station. He rails on President Trump for 3 hours every day. He's an anti-Trumper. He's one of those, we'll call him a rhino. He was an original member of the Tea Party. I have invited him on this call to pray for him. I don't know that he'll accept because he's going to be really busy. He's in D.C. probably trying to raise his money. We know he's not of the personal wealth to fund a presidential bid, but he knows a lot of people in D.C., and he's there right now raising his money. So stay tuned. I hope we get Congressman Joe Walsh from Illinois on this call to pray for him as an anti-Trumper. That is my thought process. What do you think, Kimberly?
Well, Scotty, well, I think anything is possible. And I'll tell you what, as far as red pilling goes, I think reality is the best red pillar. And I think as all this stuff rolls out, people more and more are going to have their eyes open because there is no way that they can keep them shut anymore.
How true. I think to a great extent, even this man needs a bunch of red pills, quite obviously, as he rails for 3 hours a day on the radio. His, incidentally, the people that own the radio station can't wait for him to run. They want him out of his contract. If they terminated him, it would be a very costly termination to settle out of his contract. But if he leaves on his own, then it's a done deal. So they're hoping he runs for president. He doesn't stand a chance. I teased him today on Twitter and said, you're going to get a can of whoop-ass handed to you if you do this, but I wished him luck. So we'll see if he comes on the call. I doubt it. He doesn't even believe there's people that pray for Trump. He's a bit naive. So anyhow, let's move on to our second prayer. Pastor Joseph, good evening.
Hey, good evening, Scotty.
How's it going?
Yeah, doing well.
Good, doing well. Good. Are you in California?
Yeah, I'm at home up near Lake Arrowhead and enjoying beautiful weather for August. It sure is a
awesome.
Nice
before
evening.
You jump into the prayer, I want to submit some evidence that our prayers are being heard. I received this in the mail today. Dear Mr. Sachs, as you are aware, your conservative public interest organization, Judicial Watch, has launched a series of investigations and lawsuits into former U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton and her staff regarding various counts of corruption, deception, and concealment. As a member of Judicial Watch and a resident of California's Ninth Circuit, you are being asked to show your support of these actions by signing and returning the enclosed member affirmation of public support of investigations into the litigation of Hillary Rodham Clinton. Now, this is a great development. Judicial Watch is doing great work, and he's been looking into Hillary for a long time, he and his organization, and they have begun the proceedings. They have subpoenaed her to testify and have filed litigation. And so our prayers are being heard. Pastor Joseph, will you continue to pray for the reset of the rule of law, please?
Absolutely. That's wonderful. Wow. It's good when you have confirmation for what it is you're standing for.
It sure is.
Yeah. Well, Scott, I'm going to just read a couple of verses as we step into the second half. The scripture says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." Psalm 22:28 says, "For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations." And then 1 Chronicles 29:12, it says, "Both riches and honor come from you alone. It's at your discretion that men are made great and given strength, and your hand controls wealth and might." And so as we come praying for the reset of the rule of law, recognizing, and we have been, because we wouldn't be praying if we didn't believe God would both respond and had the ability to do something about it. But the scripture addresses it. And he lets us know that he exalts one and brings down another, that he's able to address what concerns us, accomplish what concerns us. So, Heavenly Father, as we come tonight, we come with expectation, even in light of what Kimberly had prayed, Lord God. It has been a difficult season. There have been a lot of circumstances and things going on that have challenged us personally, and Lord, that we recognize have challenged our state and our nation and the states that we come from. And Father, if there's anybody on internationally, we recognize that the earth has been encountering very specific issue across the nations, across the lands, where the different laws, different legislations, different constitutions throughout the earth have been challenged, that corruption and inequity from ruler to ruler and leader to leader have been brought out into the light, and with the various indictments and the charges that are supporting them, have run past 100,000, Lord God. We recognize, even as Scotty mentioned Epstein tonight and the affiliations, the ties that are there, if they were all to come out, there'd be ruin, both in our government and I believe across the earth. And we thank you that your word is clear to say that whatever is done in secret is going to be brought out into the light, and we need that to take place. Lord, we thank you that you reign sovereignly over the affairs of men, that you understand who's in office and how they got there. You exalt one and bring down another. And we look to you tonight for your intervention as it relates to the laws of our land. And Daddy, we recognize that our founding fathers were set in their process as they were putting the Republic together. They had it in mind what it is that you were leading them to. It wasn't without your wisdom and your intervention that they put what we base our law and our land on, which is the Constitution. And Lord, as we come together in prayer tonight, we're not just acknowledging our earthly citizenship, Lord God, but also in Messiah we have heavenly citizenship. And it's from that vantage point with you in heavenly places that we're petitioning the court, petitioning the throne to execute and to render verdict as it relates to the misapplication, the undermining of that Constitution by the implementation of propositions and codes and laws that weren't brought in based on the Constitution's direction, Lord God, but were done by men with an attempt to undermine that and so redirect how our code function. We're asking for your intervention tonight for that verdict from your bench, to move in the legislative branch of our government, to move in the judicial branch of our government, to move, even as you have been in the executive branch, to turn the hearts of the kings, as your word says, like the rivers, to redirect them so that those who have operated, whether because of greed, for power, for money, for affluence or influence, or whatever motivation they would have to compromise their office, Lord, that not only would your conviction fall, but your verdict. And it would become clear, we would see an expediting, a hastening, an acceleration of the removal of those who have completely sold out and have no hope for a redemptive work, for a repenting, as it were, on a physical level, turning from the wickedness they've chosen to submit to and come underneath the covering of righteousness, Lord God, and to make things right. We're praying, Lord God, that you would reset the rule of law in our land, that you would allow for the exposure of those who will not relent and their removal, while at the same time, even as Scotty brought up tonight, Lord God, this gentleman that is considering running, even though he doesn't stand for righteousness, Father God, that freedom, that liberty is what allows us to have expectation that you can bring change. There is an operation in even in our government that would allow for one to be replaced by another. But we ask that you would intervene even in that process to raise up righteous men and women who would be able to fill the vacancies that are about to occur, to fill with wisdom and understanding and integrity and motivation that's based off of your heart, based off of your plan, your will for the earth, Lord God, that you raise up those people to fill these gaps, to be gap standers, as it were, watchmen, heralders on the wall, who will stand to support the Constitution, who will stand to see the United States restored to constitutional law, to constitutional rule. And, Lord, clean up the mess that's come because of the compromise and the shift from it. So we thank you for these things. We look to you as the author and perfecter of our faith. We look to you as the one who completes what he started. And recognize even by our coming tonight, it's a prompting by you. And if you've put it on this many, this large of a group to pray, and I know there's others praying as well, then, Lord, we recognize you have an intent, and we're excited, we're expectant. Lord, we stand in faith for what you're about to do. We thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Joseph. Much appreciate. Well, we'll move on to our closing prayer of gratitude. If there's anything, Pastor Joseph or Kimberly, you'd like to add before I close? I will move on.
Just a question. In light of what you had received in confirmation for pursuit legally, what's your expectation, Scotty, if you have one, based on what you're hearing as to the time frame when these indictments are going to be implemented on a much more direct basis? It seems like they've been staggered a bit to keep civil rest. Any thoughts or feelings around that temperature of it?
Well, I do believe they will continue to be staggered. There's not a chance they'll unload on D.C. all at one time, as we've discussed already. That could literally disrupt the business of the United States. It's that many people involved. But I do believe they'll continue to drip. I think they're working their way up the food chain. And my expectation, and it's nothing more than some things we believe from various sources, that sometime this fall into October, before the holidays, we should see some of the big names indicted. And I think one of the things that strikes me, Pastor Joseph, is, and we've discussed this before, the arrest and conviction of Hillary Clinton was an implied campaign promise of President Trump. He said the words during a debate. That debate clearly, I think the tide turned dramatically when he said the words. He said, "It's a good thing a man like you isn't president." And his response was, "Because you'd be in jail." And then, of course, every one of his campaign events, bar none, every single one, the crowd broke into chant, "Lock her up, lock her up." And he never stopped it. He'd walk around the stage, oftentimes cracking a smile even, and nodding his head in confirmation. Yeah. So I think for that to have the impact that it needs to have on the 2020 election, he can't do it in the middle of campaign season. So I think he's got to start well before campaign season. I think campaign season will officially start in January. I don't remember if it's January or February when the, you know, official, I think the conventions are in the summer. So if you back up, in order to avoid doing this in the midst of campaigning, I think he has to do it before. Yeah. So we shall see. Time will tell. As one of my mentors, Tony Robbins, said, time is flexible when the outcome is absolute.
All right.
And I have lived by that. When you have plans and you know where you're headed and you know exactly what the outcome is, you have to remain flexible in your timeline. And I think the Patriots are absolutely living by that. For every move they make, the deep state makes a counter move, and, you know, they respond accordingly. So, hey, if things go well by holidays, we'll have this rule of law so obvious, and we'll move on to praying for something else. I think, of course, there's other things we'd like to touch on, and we're staying on this rule of law until we, I think, probably see one of these big names. I don't know, a Comey, a Clinton. My personal favorite to see justice is John Brennan. Every time I see that man, I have a visceral reaction that I don't have to anybody else. Knowing that he served this country as a devout Muslim in and of itself, there's nothing wrong with that, although he hid it because he is aligned with the Muslim Brotherhood and the radicals. And he's all for Sharia law because in that, he'd derive his power. He was one of the insiders that, you know, he was on the team that was going to go run the world, of course. So I think we're going to see one of those folks before the holidays, and we'll continue to pray for the rule of law until then. So, yeah. Kimberly,
hey,
anything else you want to add?
Yeah, I do. I do want to add something. I want to remind people that we have grand juries operating all across the nation. And when we look at and we think about those 100,000 plus indictments, you know, we need to remember that those are spread out all across the nation. And so I might be looking at, you know, a certain court in Washington, D.C., but there are actually indictments being unsealed every single day. And I would encourage anybody who is, you know, of the mindset to dig, to go and actually look for unsealed indictments. So, you know, the Department of Justice website, you don't just have the federal level, but you also have the state and local level of the Department of Justice. And you can go on their websites and actually open up cases and print the indictments that are being unsealed, because that is standard operating procedure with this Department of Justice nationwide right now. So I just wanted to encourage people to remember that. The other thing is that Trump has impeached multiple judges across our nation and has placed over 1,000 judges into our court system, our judicial system, and, you know, nobody's talking about that. So I just want to encourage you. You know, David in the Psalms talked about how he encouraged his soul. And so I want you guys to encourage your souls by thinking about the fact that God is actively moving the wheels of justice in our nation and across the globe every single day. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, Kimberly, you make so many good points. And above all, when you reference those 1,000 judges, when you think about the vast operation that's underway, most of it in secret, and you think about the progress that's been made in just 2.5 years.
Oh, yeah.
It's really uncanny that we are this far along, and only because we have a president that only knows one speed. The man is in fifth gear 20 hours a day, 7 days a week. We all have heard he sleeps 4 hours a day. So, you know, he's always in fifth gear. He's a New York real estate developer. He doesn't know how to rest. He's always moving very quickly, and he expects that of those around him. This Epstein case did not pop out of the woodwork when Barr came on duty. This was in work. Jeff Sessions started the whole
right.
Epstein investigation. So there's a lot more we don't know that's going on behind the scenes. And somebody mentioned Eric Holder.
Huber's team has 400 attorneys working in Utah. Nobody's talking about that. What in the world are they doing? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's huge.
Somebody had mentioned Eric Holder to me today. There's another piece of work. He was Obama's, he was AG, was he not?
Yeah,
he was Obama's AG for his first term. He had to step aside. Obama claims he had a controversy during his 8 years of presidency, which is a bunch of bunk. Eric Holder oversaw the operation Fast and Furious, where he was running guns to the Mexican cartel, he claims, so they can trace the guns and rat them out. But in the meantime, they killed at least one border agent we know of with those guns. And somebody mentioned to me today in the D.C. area that they had heard, this is a guy who operates a lobbying firm, I've mentioned this before, he believes that the Holder indictment is about to be unsealed.
Awesome.
So things are coming, and they're going to come like an avalanche when they really start to flow. So, all right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Kimberly. Always great input. And Pastor Joe, thank you. Lord, we are grateful to be on our mission to pray for President Trump. We're grateful he is leading the storm, and he's focused on his mission and purpose as president. Lord, we're grateful you are here to reassert our sovereignty and to reform the liberal, satanic international cabal. And we pray and give thanks you will guide our friends, our family, and fellow American patriots to help us and to exert their sovereignty as well. Lord, thank you for strengthening our judgment, good judgment that turns us away from pursuing courses that may be unwise and unfulfilling, good judgment that prompts the right responses and the right action. Thank you for the empowerment and strength in us as wisdom to know what to do in any need, wisdom to know how to handle any situation, wisdom to avoid danger, wisdom to choose right, to choose the right path. Dear God, we are grateful for life as it is unfolding in our lives and in our experiences. We are grateful for the courage, strength, and vision and stability of mind we have to know that all things are working together for the highest good of all, even in the midst of change. Lord, we'd be grateful. I skipped the paragraph. Lord, we're grateful for our prayer leaders, Kimberly and Pastor Joseph, for Betty and Diane and Christine and Ingrid. We're grateful for all the prayer warriors that joined us tonight on the call. Without you, we wouldn't be here. So we're very grateful each and every Sunday and Thursday, Lord, for the many members that convened tonight, 28 members that came together. We're so grateful. Lord, we will not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known to God. When we live in the power of God, we get stronger and all of our fears disappear. We're grateful for everything that you've given us. Thank you so much for the loved ones in our lives, for the many ways which we're all cared for and supported. Thank you for the many ways we can serve and give to others today and every day. Lord, we want to serve, and therefore we shall do your work. Lord, thank you for the rich tapestry of colors in creation, for the beauty which is all around us. Our heart is so grateful and brimming with thanks. We could write 1,000 books about your great goodness and still have many stories to tell. We thank you from the bottom of our heart. We thank you for everything we are. Amen.
Amen.
Well, that's it for tonight, folks. Thank you so much for giving of your time. We're so appreciative. Go out, have a great night, hang up the phone, and give somebody a big hug, and we'll see you on Sunday. Bye-bye now.
Bye.